now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Ruck from The Times and The Sunday Times. Will Kelleher here. Welcome back, we should say. It hasn't been long since we've been away. And we'll be back in full soon with a pre-season pod to tickle your fancy. But you must be wondering why we're here. It's not even September and we're studs on and rucking already. Well, we've got a new idea at The Times and that is to share longer form interviews that we do. We're hoping you enjoy hearing from some of the players, coaches and others in rugby we speak to throughout the season, as well as reading their thoughts in the paper. So, here comes the first version of that. A counter-ruck, if you will. We hope that we have more of these to enjoy throughout the season, and if they're as good as today's one, you're in for a treat. Recently I went down to Bristol to see Carl Sinclair, the England prop. He's not played since April, and as you're about to find out, has had a hell of a time since. This is him talking about that, how he's wrestled with his demons, is starting altruistic projects via his new programme Recusants for underprivileged kids, and much, much more. I started by asking Sinclair about his back. That was as basic as I got with the first question, and we tumbled away from there. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, a Counter-Ruck special with Kyle Sinclair.
Definitely getting there. Definitely getting there. Like, for me to even be in this position to sit down and talk to you and not be in like severe pain is like unbelievable. Hopefully the plan is play Scarlets and then be available for selection against Bath, but you know, you just take it day by day and then see how these things transpire.
You obviously love your rugby, so has it just been a horrible few months of not quite knowing when the next game's coming and all that?
It's been tough, like, in terms of during the Six Nations, I just woke up one day and I was like, what? You know, like, I just, nothing, it's not like an incident that happened in training or in a game. I just woke up one morning and my back just didn't feel right. But I just pretty stupidly just kept playing on with it. And obviously it just gets worse and worse, especially in the position of tight head prop. It's not going to get any better if you've got a herniated disc in your back. But
is that what it was?
Yeah, herniated disc in my back. So
it wasn't like spasming and stuff, was it?
It's serious pain, mate. It's been tough, but obviously the way I've tried to use it, it's been a blessing, you know? Like, it's allowed me and it's given me the time to get other parts of my body right, obviously fix my back, but fix other issues and other niggles, because as you know, as an athlete, you're never 100%, and I never, you know, once the season starts, I'll never be 100%, but it's allowed me to fix little niggles, little aches and pains, but also get my mind right. And the biggest thing for me is just being aligned every day, being in alignment, which I have found tough. Don't get me wrong, at times, especially when you're dealing with severe pain. And it's not an injury that I've ever experienced before, and it's not really a common injury. So, say, for instance, a normal rugby injury, you kind of only feel when you're doing rugby. And then when you're playing, the adrenaline, you just can get through anything. Whereas when I had this injury, it's like you sit down, you feel it. You bend over, you feel it. You put your socks on. It's constant because it's neural, so it goes through your back, your leg, your feet, your calf, and everything. So it's been pretty tough, but I've just tried to use it as a positive. I don't think I've ever watched so much rugby in my life. But
what have you been watching?
Just everything, you know.
Springboks, All Blacks, and all
Springboks, All Blacks, Wales, South Africa. Obviously, the boys out in Oz. I reviewed every game from last year that I played for Bristol in England. Okay. Watched every scrum of the summer. So I've just tried. it's kind of, even though it is frustrating, like for me, I've always, when it comes to rugby, I've always been a fan first. Like, I love rugby and I actually just love my sport. Mm. You know, whether it's cricket, rugby, football, basketball, NFL.
I
just love sport. So for me, it's like, regardless if I'm playing or not, it's like if the boys are playing, whether it's England, Wales, Ireland, it's like I'm up, you know, 6 a.m. Up on a Saturday and I've got the whole day of rugby. You know, it's like absolutely class. But then obviously a bit frustrating not being involved. But I just always try to use it as a positive. But it's easy for me to say that now in the position I'm in now, because at times it's been really, really dark and really tough. But I really feel this is going to be the making of me, you know. And it's allowed me time to heal and fix things that I wouldn't have had the opportunity if I've obviously just kept playing.
Yeah, of course. So what was the moment where you thought, because you played in April, didn't you? So what was the time where you thought, I can't just keep trucking on?
It was after the Cell game. I didn't have a good game as well. And I think that's when, that's the difference. Like when you do have, like, everyone always has niggles, but then it's like, if you can perform and it's not getting any worse, then it's okay. But it's like with my back, it got to a point where it was so bad I wouldn't been able to put my shoes on, I wasn't able to put my socks on, I wasn't able to sit down, but I could play rugby, which made no sense.
Yeah.
It was like when I was playing rugby, I was absolutely fine.
It's because of the adrenaline.
It's like, it's my passion, it's what I was literally brought on this earth to do. So it's like, everything to me is innate, it's second nature. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I felt more comfortable on a rugby field than I did, you know, sitting down and having a conversation with you now, or if I had to put my shoes or my socks on, you know? And it got to that point after the Cell game when we played here at home where I didn't play well and I was in pain. And it's like there comes a point where you're becoming a detriment to the team.
Sure.
And you become a distraction as well. So, for instance, I couldn't train all week. I'd be playing on the weekend. And then I'm not that type of player who can just rock up on a Saturday. Like, I have to get my prep and get all my stuff right in the week and nail, like, my holistic pattern that I have in place to be able to perform on a weekend. And I couldn't do anything in a week, literally nothing, apart from maybe lift weights and do a couple of runs, and then I'd play on the weekend. And it just got to a point where I had a conversation with Pat and Eddie and just said, look, I don't think I can do this. And credit to those guys, you know, that they've always been big supporters of mine, and just said, look, do what you need to do to get yourself right, because, you know, they obviously want the best Carl Sinclair out there.
Yeah, of course.
And so do I.
Yeah, absolutely. We all do, yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you actually have to have any surgery?
No.
I would rehab?
The thing is with I guess in my opinion, with surgeries and stuff, unless it categorically needs to happen, I would never ever consider having surgery. You know,
the body can always
heal.
Yeah.
The biggest kind of indication of that is the trip I had to Hawaii with my mentor at Savior World. Like, I went to Hawaii and I swear to you, I couldn't sit down. Like, I was still in pain. I was like, what is going on? Like, it was just like, it's just living proof in terms of how the body heals itself.
Yeah.
If you just give it time, and if you actually rest, but not physically rest, like actually rest in your mind. So say, for instance, I've never properly rested in terms of my body and my mind. You know, I could be laying on a beach, but my mind could be thinking about 10,000 different things. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it was like, I arrived on the trip in Hawaii and I was still in pretty, you know, severe pain. And when I left, I could sit down. I didn't feel any pain.
Yeah.
I felt completely normal. And I'm now here sitting having a conversation and I feel no pain at all. So it's just like, for me, in terms of allowing the body to do what it does, because it is so intelligent and it is so smart, you know, and allowing nature to do its thing. You know, all I was doing was resting in the sun, doing a bit of training in the beach, you know, in nature, connecting with nature, which was pretty cool. So I went to a place called Kauai.
Okay.
It's a little island. It's dubbed, the island is known for its healing.
Okay.
It's called the Garden of Eden. So as soon as you get to the island, you're instantly healing. As soon as you breathe the air in, it literally feels like it's
like
in
a whole holistic.
It feels like it's in a different dimension, genuinely.
Really? Yeah.
You know? And I think the thing is especially with just the high performance nature of our sport and how, you know, it is week to week to week, when you do have those pressures, players probably do rush and get surgery on things they probably don't need to. And I guess I'm very fortunate with the support team that I have here at Bristol and at England, but also who I have outside the
family.
Yeah, you know, outside of it, in terms of who I have, who I employ myself, and who all are aligned and give me the best advice for me. You know, it would have been easy for Pat and Eddie to be like, you know, you can keep going, you can keep going, because they know what I'm like. I would have just kept playing.
Yeah.
But for them to just say, look, you need to get yourself right, obviously really helped me and took kind of the mental load off me, which I was very grateful. And then I guess the final piece to the jigsaw was that trip to Hawaii, where you're looking at the holistic approach of an injury. So when you're looking at an injury, you only look at it on the physical. So for instance, you'll say, Will, you've got a sore Achilles.
Yeah.
And a physio would say, you know, you're out for 4 to 6 weeks. But then it's like
these exercises,
the body communicates to you in terms of where you're going wrong in your life if you're not in alignment. You've obviously heard of the saying Achilles heel.
Yeah,
so obviously it could be something that you're obviously not getting, and it's being the Achilles heel of your life. Do you see what I'm saying?
It's
the holistic approach to fixing yourself and being back in alignment. And for me, and from what I figured out, is your back is your stability. For me, I need to get my stability right in terms of my off the field stuff. That was what was missing. And it was like, that was the missing piece. Soon as kind of we figured it out on the trip, back in alignment, I'm here sitting chew, fully training, feeling good, not in any pain. And, you know, I'm excited and I'm ready to do my thing, you know?
Yeah. So what did you address that you needed to out there that wasn't just the physical stuff?
It's just the whole holistic approach to it, you know, because when you're in a high performance environment such as rugby, you know, and in the Premiership and at international level, you don't actually have time really to sit back and reflect, if that makes sense, because it's the next game, the next training session, the next gym session, the next recovery session. You need to get this amount of sleep because we've got this session, and, you know,
we're playing
this game on the weekend. You just go. So for me, it was like actually stripping everything back and just reviewing, you know, who are the people I'm hanging around with. People kind of sometimes joke and stuff with me about kind of my spirituality, but it's like we all feel energy. Yeah. We can have a conversation, and you've had conversations with people in the past, and then when you've left, you don't feel good.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would I put myself in the presence of people? I was probably doing that a bit too much. I probably wasn't being my, we call it our higher self. You know, you have your lower self and you have your higher self. I probably wasn't delivering.
The best version.
Yeah, exactly. I probably wasn't delivering that off the field.
Okay.
And for me, and most players, I've only a couple in my whole career who their personal life can, you know, not be great and then rock on the field and be an absolute rock star.
Like
for me, my alignment off the field translates to the alignment on the field. And it was only little things. It wasn't anything major, but you've got to think about it, Wolf. If little things each day keep creeping in over a 5, 6, 7, 8, 29-year period, that's going to become a big thing. So it's like, but it's actually, I guess, having the courage to address those things, because I guess not many people, I would say, would look at themselves as deeply as that. And it's like, for me, I want to deliver my best performances on the field and be a good person, be a good man, be a good role model. So in order for me to fulfill those things, I have to live a certain way, and I can't do certain things, you know?
Yeah. So I was just thinking about your move here. So
yeah.
It's been like, what, 2 and a bit years?
Yeah,
now.
2 and a bit years, yeah.
So do you now feel, in that period, you're kind of, I think you've used the word at peace.
Yeah.
And settled and sort
yeah.
of, because you're a London boy, aren't you?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That move was a big one.
Yeah, it was a really, really big move, Will. Like Harlequins at that time was all I knew, you know,
and it's from like 12, it's, or?
Yeah, from 12 years old. So it's like kind of really reminiscent when I'm here, and we had a function here on Tuesday, and it was nice. We got all the family and stuff together, and all the players. At the end of the night, Pat got like said, everyone from Bristol come up to the front,
and
I could see the twinkle in the young guys' eyes, because it's like they've been in the Bristol Academy since they were, I don't know, 10 years old, and obviously now they're breaking into the academy, some are in the first team, and there was a load of Bristolians there, and it's like I know that feeling. I needed to step out of my comfort zone to experience something different, you know. For me, even though I grew up in London since I was a kid. And I'm a London, South Londoner through and through. Like, I needed to step away from that. You know, I needed to to really hone in my focus and be out in my comfort zone, you know. And I really, really do enjoy it here in terms of everything I have around me. Like, I look outside my house, I've got loads of fields, I go on a walk, there's cows, there's sheep, there's horses, the little village I live in. But just the quality of life I feel, and just the people in general, are very different. You know, when you're in London, Will, it's like...
more intense.
I need to get to A to B. You're in my way, I haven't got time. Whereas it kind of shocked me a bit, because I'd be walking the dog, and someone will come up, oh, how are you doing? Good morning. And you're like, what do you want from me? Like, you know, like, what's going on? Yeah. But it was just like, everyone's just so nice and actually curious and care and see how you're doing. You can have a conversation with whoever, you know, and it's a real community and town feel, you know, like, especially like bar first game of the season.
Yes.
Like, that means a lot to the people, you know. Like, I go to one of the butchers that I go to once a week to get all my food, and the farm shop down the road. Literally, we beat Bath. Yeah, you can have it. You know, like, I'm like, sweet.
It's all free.
Yeah, it's like, because it means so much to the people, you know.
Yeah.
So, whereas Quinn's, and you know what it's like in London, it's very different. Yeah. You know, you got the football.
Well, I live in Twickenham.
It's like, you've got so many other things and so many other distractions, whereas here it's like, you Bristol Rovers, Bristol City, but then both of those fans are all Bristol Bears fans. Everyone's pulling for Bristol Bears. So for me, it was a change that needed to happen, but it's allowed me that space to deal and heal myself, if that makes sense,
sure.
You know? And especially with the year that is coming up and all the rugby that is being played, you know, it's divine timing, really.
Absolutely,
so I'm very grateful.
So how much do you head back? Is your mum still back in?
Yeah, my mum's, if I'm being honest, I rarely head back. I can't
she
remember.
Come here, so
she comes here. My little sister's going to Hartbury. So she's a very, very talented rugby player. She's in the Queen's Academy. She's going to Hartbury, and she's in England under 18s. Well, I think she's trialling at the moment.
Amazing.
But so she will only be down the road, so I'll be able to see her a lot more often.
She's like 17?
16, going 17, just got their GCSEs. Her and my little brother, twins.
Literally today?
Yeah. They've done really, really well. So, and my little brother's staying in sixth form in London. But I don't really tend to see too many people, to be honest, because I'm so focused and I'm so driven to achieve my goals, not just on the field, but with my online platform off the field, and the content that I'm creating in the background and the things I'm trying to put in place that will help the younger generations. It's like, I can't like go back to London and chill, you know. It's like, if I have a day off, it's like, okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z. I need to recover. I need to rehab. I need to film this content. I need to initiate this thing with this brand to see if they'll be able to help. You know, it's like, and I guess I'm very grateful because the people that I do have around me in my life, they're all very supportive and understand about the greater good. You know what it's like if you don't have that support team around you and you have external pressures and it's like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? It can come, can become quite draining and it can become quite, you know, you feel pressured. Whereas, you know, my mum's always been very supportive of me. I think she knows I'm not her little boy anymore. I'm a 29-year-old grown man. Yeah, so she just lets me crack on and you know, the relationship's flourishing. So
nice.
Definitely loving my time up.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah. Can you tell me, I want to know more about that rescue sense and the stuff you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's really cool, Will. So basically, you've got three categories.
Yeah,
so you've
I was looking
got,
on your
Yeah, yeah, so we've got again. Will, intellect and physicality.
Yeah.
So physicality is just like workout videos. If you want to go to the gym and do some bicep curls.
Yeah.
Not saying I advise you to come on. <Yeah. laughs> Well, no, it's just a lot. And it actually allows me to get another side of my personality out.
Yeah.
So we've filmed 13 episodes of them. Intellect is just an animated podcast that touches on subjects that will relate to the younger generation. So
and
in the next
story and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's if I'm being honest, it's mainly the focus on that is just all about the younger generation. Mm. But obviously, in terms of how I can relate and help teach is through my own personal journey, which obviously includes a lot of rugby. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that is my life.
And like where you came from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but with the teachings that I've learned with my mentor at Save Your World, like the next episode is about anger. So that's how I initially started doing the work. Was one of the boys in camp was working with that organisation and said, "Look, I think you need to speak to this guy because he will help." And then it's like he made me understand the holistic approach to dealing with that problem, because in our society, what I feel we tend to do is we fix the symptoms.
Mm.
We fix the symptoms, and when we feel good for a week or 2 weeks or 6 months, and then we're back to fear. Then we're back to where we were, even worse. But we don't actually fix the cause. And with my anger, I never got to the root cause of it. I'd sit down with a psychiatrist or a coach or a family member or whatever, and it'd be like, well, you know, if you're on the field, think this, do this breathing, think blue. And it was like, that doesn't work. Like, do you know what I mean? I might work for one game and then it doesn't work for two games. And it's like the actual cause of my root anger was from my childhood and my dad not being there, me going to rugby on a Sunday and looking around and seeing everyone happy family, and it was just me and my mum. And I was just like, what's going on here? But subconsciously, I would never think about that. So it's like there's loads of kids out there from underprivileged backgrounds who have the anger in terms of what I had, which was like very out there, very egotistical, very like I use it as a mask, you know, as protection. Yeah. That's what the ego does.
Protect yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, to protect myself, because if I make you feel if you feel fearful for me, that gives me power, because you don't know what I'm going to do. Do you see what I'm like? Fuck, Kyle's a... Don't know what Kyle we're going to get here today. Do you see what I'm saying? So it did protect me when I needed protecting. But then you have the other scale of it where people suppress their anger and don't say anything. And then one day, a florist from East London goes and has a fight and gets done for manslaughter because he has suppressed that anger and doesn't know how to deal with it. So it's like these little 10-minute animated podcasts are just little snippets to just help the younger generation deal with issues that are relatable to them, and it's all about them. And then the last category is Will, and it's like basically I will give you an opportunity. So I've recently filmed an episode. I don't want to like spoil it, but I went to a local school in Bristol, found a kid, he had anger problems, and I helped him, took a coaching session, and then I gifted him an opportunity.
Cool.
And that was a pretty cool piece of content. And the content that I'm looking to film by the end of the year is I'm linking up with quite a few private schools in London, in and around London, and hopefully some really, really big private schools as well outside of London, and we'll be able to offer kids scholarships.
Yeah.
Like, how amazing would that be? You know, like, that's literally, for me, that changed my life.
Absolutely.
So for me to be able...
Yeah,
exactly. For 2 years. So for me to be in a position to be able to give back and give a kid a fully paid scholarship, then it's like... Because that was my biggest thing growing up, was these kids, as talented as they were, just didn't get the opportunity. I'm just trying to do my little part and be of service to help the younger generation, because that's something I've always wanted to do. And it excites me. You can hear it in my voice when I speak about it. That's something I've always wanted to do.
So when you're going to these public schools, are they really receptive? And have you felt in the past that maybe they're a bit like reticent about doing it? When you're presenting in this stuff, they're really like...
No, I think... Miss Long, who was my teacher at Graveney, and the one who like helped me start up the first rugby team, she's now head of sport at Trinity School, which is in Croydon, which is next to Whitgift and Trinity.
Nice.
Both very, very good rugby schools, and she's obviously been a big supporter of mine.
Yeah.
So she's, with her school set up, a number of scholarships that she'll be able, through me, when we find the right candidates, be able to give those kids, along with, you know, Adidas helping out with the kit.
Nice.
Hopefully a few other sponsors coming on board, because I can't do it by myself, yeah, you know? Like, I'm obviously investing a lot of my own money in it, but I can't do it all by myself. Yeah, like, yeah, I need a helping hand. But as a kid, like, you're going to get bored of listening to a school teacher or a rugby coach. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you... I always find as well, I was thinking about this yesterday, like, it's actually hard to tell a kid how to solve something if you haven't done it yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, when I speak to... If I'm telling a kid how to get out of their circumstances and how to deal with anger and how to be driven and how to be motivated and how to be the best version of you, I can speak about that.
Yeah.
And I've come from an underprivileged background, and they'll listen to me because I know how to do it, because I've done it.
Yeah.
It's like...
how can respect you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, say, for instance, if I'm a... This is no dig at personal trainers. Not, this is just my opinion. How, if I'm an obese person, and I go to see a personal trainer who's in unbelievable shape and never been fat and obese in his or her life, she won't know how to get me. You only know by doing. They will listen to me because I've been through that. So when I'm speaking to a kid in the first episode and talking to him about anger, he will listen to me because he can feel it. You only know by doing it. It's like me trying to tell you because I've, you know, done a few courses online about how to journal and be a journalist. You'll be like, you're talking rubbish. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you would know how to do that because you do that every day and been doing it for however many years.
I think the thing that everyone finds really admirable about all that stuff that you're doing is that for a lot of people, they think, why do I have to do that? I'm the 29-year-old England rugby player, being a couple of Lions tours. It's not my job. But you seem to be part of this kind of drive, guys like Ellis as well, doing similar things in different spheres, of using your platform and using your status, I suppose, that you've been lucky enough and talented enough to get, to actually help and change and try and assist other people who might be in similar positions.
Yeah.
So where does that come from for you?
I think there was I can't remember who said it, and I might be paraphrasing, but I think there was a quote that really resonated with me, and a wise man told me, it was do what you love until it kills you, or something along those lines. And it was like, as a man, you need purpose. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's like, rugby's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
And it's like, while I'm in a position to be quite a high-profile player, you know, it doesn't last forever. You know, I have come to the realization of that. I've seen it. You know, guys who are up here, and then it just comes crashing down. You know, I already know how that goes, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, while I'm up there and I'm in the spotlight, it's like, for me, it's about how to give back. And it's like, I wanted to leave something behind long after I'm gone.
Do you see what
I'm saying? Like,
totally.
the recusance for me will be there when I'm after I'm dead, because it's online. So when I'm dead in 100 years time, someone who's dealing with anger or dealing with an issue can type in, how do I deal with anger, and that video will come up, and that will help. For me, it's about just leaving a legacy behind that will help a few people. And obviously, the aim is to help loads and loads of people, but I can't do that by myself. And that's why I'm initiating every day to try and, you know, get people on board, because obviously I need as much help as possible. And this really excites me, and it's something where I can actually give back and really change some lives. So for me, I'm just solely focused on those two things, and they both feed each other. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like, the more successful my rugby career, the better my online platform is going to be. The better interviews I give, the more press you put out about it, the more coverage that gets, the more coverage I get, and then it just feeds each other. And it only works because the intention is pure. The intention isn't about me trying to get money or me trying to make a profit off it right now. Eventually, of course, I want to.
Yeah.
I need to eat.
Rugby,
yeah, exactly.
To, yeah.
Yeah, but at the moment, it's like, I'm putting in a lot of money, you know, over probably £100,000 into it, and we've only had 3 pieces of content made. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a marathon; it's not a sprint, you know. And another a wise man told me, it's not who's good; it's who's left.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, you just keep chipping away every day. You know, not running around like a headless chicken. You just get your head down, keep working and working every day. Do that over 5, 10, 15 years, you're miles ahead of other people, because everyone gets distracted.
I'm thinking, with Ellis now coming in,
yeah,
I don't know, do you feel kind of kindred spirits? You've got these things away from rugby that you're interested in, and they're in similar, not the same, but they're similar fields. And
we've obviously been in the England environment now for a while. But if you actually look at the games played together, we have hardly played with each other.
Yeah. And that, like, Aussie Tour 16, where you were the two.
Yeah, we're apprentices, lads. Yeah, exactly. But, like, in terms of tests played, we haven't actually played a lot of rugby together. So it's, like, actually quite a new relationship on the field.
Yeah.
And it's, like, we need to build that bond from a scrum perspective, from an attack perspective, from a defence, like, how we communicate with each other. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's, like, it's the same again. It's just about both of us being... because we're both very, very, you know, very good rugby players, but also being very open and being like, look, bro, I need you to do this on this scrum.
Yeah.
Carl, I need you to do this. I got you. Ellis, I need you to do this. I got you. Doing what is best for the team, but also for us, as opposed to Ellis and Kyle. That's my focus, is like, what can I do best for the team, Bristol and hopefully England? I would be in a position when I was younger, I'd be like, I want to carry. I want to do this. Why are they not talking about... do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that just comes out of pride consciousness. It's all about me. I want to give back, but I see the greater picture now. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to be successful at Bristol because me being successful at Bristol helps me with England, and then me being successful at Bristol and England helps with my profile off the field, which then helps with the recusants.
Yeah,
and it all feeds each other. But I think for us, it's about being very transparent, being very honest and open, leaving our egos at the door, and like doing what's best for Bristol. I know for him on a personal level, he really wanted to come home, you know. And I can sense like how proud he is to be back.
Yeah.
But now it's like we got to get to work, you know. And that's the thing. And one thing about Ellis is he's a grafter, he's a grinder, he's a hustler like me. Do you know what I mean? We are very similar, but also we're very different as well. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's how we have a good relationship. But for us to I don't want people to just think first game in we're going to be unbelievable. It might happen, but it's going to take time. Ellis has always played with Coley, I've always played with Marla. We're all both different very players, and it's like now we're kind of, touch wood, both coming into a position where it could be potentially for club and country, and us playing week in and week out is only going to benefit England. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like we just have to get the relationship right. You know, how does he like to run his lines? Can I get him into the game? Because I like to get people into the game with my hands, but I also need to carry as well. Just building that rapport, building that relationship, and like we'll definitely get there.
Do you feel, just to sort of sign it off, at your best spot you've been for a while?
I would say from a physical point of view, like I sat down like with the nutritionist, we call him Delboy, he's James Moran.
Yes.
And like he's a top nutritionist, works with loads of like elite boxers and stuff. And we had a plan put in place, I would say 2021, just after the autumn.
Yeah.
When we played South Africa, because I played that game and I was like, I need to put on a bit of size here. Do you know what I mean? And like I was dealing with my own things. Like it's a weird one. I had like kind of body dysmorphia as well. Like I had some issues that I was healing at the time in terms of like eating, and like, I would fast probably for too long and I wouldn't eat enough, and like I was too small in terms of skinny for a prop.
Right.
So like we put in like it was called like the prison diet.
Okay.
Like people in prison get big because they eat the same thing on the same day every day.
Yeah.
That's like the consistency of the food you eat. That's how that's how you gain size and muscle. So since then, I would say every day, unless obviously you're in camp and stuff, but when I've been at home every day, the same meal. Physically, you know, I'm like probably the heaviest I've been, but the lowest body fat I've ever had. Do you see what I'm saying?
So what are you like at now on those?
I'm like 120 kilos and like 10% body fat, I think we got to yesterday, which is not
pretty
bad.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
Bearing in mind, I remember when I rocked up at Quinn's. I rocked up at Quinn's one year and I was like 40% body fat and like 10 kilos heavier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, but it takes time. So physically, I'd say I'm the best I've ever been. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, I would say you mentioned in tune. Like I feel like I'm very in tune with how I am, how others feel, what guys need, what I need, and like me being aligned off the field and on the field. You know, one of the first when I was working with Xavier Wild, the first thing he said to me was, "Why do you deserve to play well? Why do you deserve to play well?" And it's like, why do you? Do you know what I mean? Like, what? Because you just want to? Because you just work hard? Everyone works hard. Everyone wants to play well. But you've got to have a reason. You've got to have a why. And obviously my why is to inspire the next generation. And it's like I'm truly, fully like in tune with that journey and what that looks like. And that intention is pure. So like I will always have energy to do that.
Yeah.
Whereas as we've seen with some other athletes, where if the intention isn't pure by stuff that they're doing off the field, it gets found out by on the field. And you do certain things that to the naked eye look like you're doing a good thing, but your intention isn't pure, your off the field performances go. I think for me, I'm just very grateful, like a lot of gratitude in terms of being able to touch wood in 2 weeks' time, run out and play, like going back to what I love. And like,
yeah.
Not that I ever did take it for granted, but you do really
appreciate it.
You do really appreciate it. Like, it felt weird for me. I remember there was one time, so England played the second test in
Brisbane.
And I would always do my bits on a Saturday before the games. So, like, I would watch the New Zealand game, then I would have, like, Pilates in between.
Yeah.
And I would see the chiropractor, and, like, I had... They say that you store your trauma in your hips.
Okay.
So, like, say if you have really, really tight hips, you've got, like suppressed trauma that you haven't dealt through with your childhood. And I remember I had, like, a big release in Pilates with my hips. And then I had a massive release in the chiropractor, because obviously he does like a lot of clicks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just driving home, like racing, obviously, to try and get the second test.
Yeah.
Well, I swear to God, I just started breaking down crying
right.
in the car.
Wow.
But like, it wasn't like, it was so strange. It wasn't like a...
Do you know why?
Well, it's just a release.
Yeah.
Because my hips have been so tight. And like, for years and years and years, like imagine like the suppressed anger or whatever it is. I was just driving and like floods of tears were coming out of me. I was like, what is going on?
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying? It was just like a release, like a level up. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I've released that clog. And I was just like, man, like I'm going through a tough time here. Do you know what I mean? But I'll never forget, you know, driving down the M4, like I was literally thinking, I was driving down the M4, like floods of tears. And obviously it's like quite a busy like motorway.
Getting
so definitely lane. Some people are like looking like, is that car single, like in crying, driving down the motorway. But it's like those moments are what makes you.
Yeah,
so it's like,
yeah.
And obviously I'm not very like vocal with certain things like that, but there's been like quite a few times in this process where I've like really broke down.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like to be able to be here and to have a great conversation with you, you know, is been really, really like a blessing for me, and to not have any pain and feel like, in terms of how I feel energetically, like aligned, I'm on it, I'm in tune, and it's like I'm ready to go. It is a blessing, and I'm just looking forward to going out there.
Well, there you have it. What a pleasure it was to chat to Carl Sinclair. You'll be hard pressed to find anyone as open and honest as him. So all power to what he's doing with Recusants, and all the best to him and Bristol Bears for the season ahead. As we said at the top, we'd like to share more of these counter-rucks throughout the season, so do let us know what you think. Wherever you download your podcast from, do like, subscribe, and send us a review. Comment on social media, share it around, tell your friends about it, because it all helps us push out there so we can bring you some better stuff throughout the year. We'll be back properly with a full-blown ruck from the Premiership launch later in the week, so stand by your feeds for that. But for now, this has been a counter-ruck special, and we hope you all enjoyed it. This podcast was produced by Alfie Reynolds.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.